got up here this morning to present my class, for those of you that weren't here, on Romans on PowerPoint, and the bulb went out. So I didn't have my PowerPoint, and I thought this morning, wouldn't that be something if I got up here and my notes weren't in my Bible? I'd be in some serious trouble, right? No, I've actually had dreams like that, real dreams, that I got up one Sunday, Kent, and my notes weren't in my Bible. But that's actually one of my New Year's resolutions or goals for this year is not so much not having notes, because it's okay to have notes, just not relying on them as much, but it's hard sometimes, you know, if you got a few lessons you're doing in a week and some other things, it can be kind of tough, especially if you're going through a new book or something like that. But that's one of my goals. So you can pray for me on that, and hopefully the end of this year I'll get a little better with that. It's good to see everybody. I hope everybody had a good Christmas. Christmas, you know, especially when you have kids, it's a lot of fun. And it's the expressions on the faces and of the kids, you know. And Connor, we got a kick out of him this year. I think he told some of you. Connor's our littlest one. He's 3, for those of you who are here visiting, but 2.5, almost 3. And if you were to ask Connor what he wanted for Christmas, he said, "I want knives, bows, and big, 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 big guns." And so he did get a gun, and he was running around yesterday with his brother shooting. Good thing it's not a real one, because we'd be in some real trouble. But he was shooting everything around the house, and it was a good day. Christmas is about family and just being together, and I hope you enjoyed yours. We were driving home last night, Kelly and I, and all this anticipation, and then it's over. It's really hard to digest, you know, everything that goes on during the holiday, and then it's here, and then it's gone. And so we move on to a new year. We're in 1 John. Great book. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn there. You know, watching the kids, the anticipation is so great. As they sit there, you know, the presents there, and they don't know what it is. They've asked for different things. They had their list, and they're just excited. You know, they're vibrating and shaking. They just can't wait to open it, and finally they open it, and it's revealed to them, and they're excited. And that's somewhat like God was with us, with his son, in that, you know, he's given us a gift. And that's why we're here today. He sent him from heaven, and he sent him to the world. And when he was revealed, the world that realized who he really was amazed, in awe, that God would give us what he gave us. And that's why we're here today. And John will put it this way. John will say that God was manifested to us. And that the idea is that Jesus, as I brought out last week, if God was one of us, what would he be like? Well, Jesus came and he was God in the flesh. He came and he made the invisible God now visible for the world to see. This is your Savior. This is your Deliverer. This is your God. And John actually said in the first part of chapter 1 of 1 John that we were witness to this. We're not witnesses to this today. We go out and we proclaim this one Jesus because we believe it. But we weren't witnesses. We weren't there. We didn't see it as John saw it. John actually said we heard it. We heard it with our own ears. We saw it with our own eyes. We beheld it. It was far more than just a glance or a quick glimpse, that we actually studied and examined this person. And then if that isn't enough for you, John says, we touched him. We touched him before his death, and we touched him after his resurrection. John says this is the one that was from the beginning. John says this is, as he would call it, the eternal life. Not eternal life. He says the eternal life. The one in whom eternal life comes through. I like how Hebrew writer puts it, but of the Son, he says, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. In reference to Jesus. You know, John will say Jesus revealed many things. And one thing he says in his gospel is that chapter 1 of John, verse 18, that Jesus came and explained him. That is, the only begotten God. And now John is going to say, let me share with you the message that we heard from this one. This one that was sent to heaven for us as a gift. This God in the flesh. I want to share with you the message. And that's what we find in chapter 1 of 1 John, verse 5 through 10. And that's our text for this morning. Let's begin to read there. This is a popular passage. A good one. One we've heard many times. But let's work through this. John says, and this is the message we have heard from him, and we announce it to you, that God is light. And in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, with God, with the light, and yet we walk in darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. But if we walk, John says, in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship, partnership with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, if we say that we have no sin, we're deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, he is faithful. That's grace. You can put grace right there. He is faithful and he is righteous to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from, and I love it, all unrighteousness, John said. That's the message we've heard. And he goes on to say, if we say that we have not sinned, once again, if we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. What is John talking about? What is the message we heard? He says the message we heard is that God is light. God is light, that he is perfect in every way. When I went through this, I remember a long time ago when I was a kid, a singer, a guy by the name of Mac Davis. Everybody, anybody here, Mac Davis? He had that song, I remember singing it. Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. Can't wait to look in the mirror. I get better looking each day. Well, he doesn't understand there's only one who's perfect in every way. God is the one who is light. John says, look, there is not even a glimpse of darkness in God. He is light. He is perfect in purity, in peace, in righteousness, in love, in joy, in happiness. God is light. James said, every good and perfect thing bestowed is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, in whom there's no variation and shifting shadow. All good things comes from the Father of lights. 1 Timothy 6, 15 and 16. We're told, Paul says to Timothy, that he dwells in unapproachable light. Perfect in every way. No darkness. Hold your place there in 1 John. Go over to the Gospel of John. Jesus would explain it this way in verse 19 and 20. By saying, and this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and that men love the darkness rather than the light. Isn't that true? We see that today. The world likes darkness more than it likes light. It doesn't like light because light sheds on the darkness. It exposes the darkness. Jesus said it this way, for their deeds were evil. We go back and trace that back from the beginning of time to the time of Noah. That the whole world was continually on evil, or their minds were on evil. Jesus said, for everyone who does evil hates the light and doesn't come into the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. You see, light and darkness doesn't go together. Paul said to the Ephesians in chapter 5, verse 8, you were once darkness. But now you're light in the Lord. He said to the Colossians, you were delivered from that domain of darkness, and now in Christ you're transferred into the kingdom of light or into the kingdom of his Son. Richard Rogers, years ago, and I never sat in on one of his classes, but he was a great teacher, great preacher. And I was reading that he illustrated this as he would teach his First John class by using the example of a pornographic movie theater that he had driven by. And he, in this illustration, he said, well, you drive by in the morning and there weren't hardly any cars there. Go there in the middle of the day, there might be one or two. You go there as the sun began to come down and there was a few more. But you get there at dark, or you go by there at dark, and guess what? The parking lot was filled. That's the concept of darkness. It does its deeds in the dark. Evil likes to fulfill itself or to fulfill its duties in darkness, not in light, because light exposes it. And that's what the Son of God came to this earth to do, to expose the darkness. I mean, I think we can relate to that in our... I can. I think we can go back to times when we've done things we knew we shouldn't do, and when do we do them? In the light of day for everybody to see? Because we don't want our deeds exposed. In light, we do it in darkness. Because evil fulfills its desire in darkness. What does this mean for us today as we focus on this idea of this message that God is light? That's what we're called to be. It is so simple, but isn't it so hard to do? God has called us to be a light. Listen, Jesus said, look, a city set on a hill cannot be hidden. You are a light of this world. I remember years back, we took the teens here, a long time ago, to Arizona on a vacation Bible school. And it was actually where Ben Atchley, his family, where Ben, he didn't grow up there, but where his family was worshiping in Kearney, Arizona. And we went there, and I remember being out in the desert. Kearney was, close to a couple hours from Phoenix, over an hour. And you could look out in the desert and you could see the lights. You ever been outside in the desert or somewhere where you're driving and you could see a city far off in the distance? That's how God says we are to be. We are a city set on a hill. We are told by Jesus, let your light shine before men in such a way that they see our good works, they watch, and they glorify our Father who is in heaven. There was ever a daily concern for God's people. It's this, that we are light. We're not just a reflection. We are called to be lights. We are called to be this way. What else does John reveal here in this? He says, if we say we have fellowship with him, we say we have fellowship with the light. He says, but yet we walk in darkness, we lie, and we aren't practicing truth. You know, this was consistent with the background of Gnosticism. Because really, if you would press them, their view was that, you know what, remember, I shared this last week and the week before. You could live this way and it not affect your relationship with God. You could have fellowship with God as light and you could walk however you want because the flesh is evil. And to some, God didn't even create your flesh or this world. They believed in a lesser God. Matter of fact, Plato would speak of one they called, and I don't know if you pronounce it this way, but I'll try Demiurge. And he called him the one that shaped the material world. This is the same one the Corinthians believed in. I shared that with you last week. That was an odd group, a strange belief. That Jesus came as a man and then at his baptism, the Messiah made his dwelling within him, but he gets to the cross to make atonement for the world and the Messiah somehow leaves. And it's just a man there to make atonement for our sins and we've got a lot of problem if only a man was there. We needed somebody greater and we had someone greater. We had the Son of God who did all that. There's a story that Cerinthus might have been one of the false teachers that John had in mind as he wrote this, from what I've read. And there is a story, it's an outside source, it's not in the scriptures, but it's by Irenaeus that supposedly Polycarp told, and Polycarp was a follower of John, this John. And supposedly in this story, John was in a bathhouse and he found out that Cerinthus was there, and he fled yelling, "Let us flee, lest the whole building fall down, for Cerinthus, the enemy of truth, is with it." Why? What was he proclaiming? It's okay to live that way. Live how you want in the flesh. Remember, some were saying indulge, others were saying deny. Either way, that's not what John brings out here. We cannot walk in darkness as God's people and be in fellowship with light. We can't. That's what John is saying. He says, and if you think you can, you're lying. And he says, truth isn't even in you. We lie and don't practice the truth. And what does that mean, practice? Do any of you have practice? You play sports or anything? What do you practice? Why did we practice? We want to get better, don't we? We want to be more like God. We want to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. And so we practice this thing we call truth. And the world today doesn't like that. Our culture doesn't like it because it says there are no absolute truths. Our young people go off to universities, and that's what they hear a lot of times. Not everywhere, but a lot of teaching is that there is no absolute truth. Well, Jesus comes along, and guess what he says? If you abide in my word, then you are truly followers of mine, and you shall know the truth, and the truth makes you free or sets you free. Brethren, you have freedom because of the truth of Jesus Christ. That's absolute. Absolutely. John says also, if we walk in light, we have fellowship. Walking in light, and we have discussed this many times. We went through this in Ephesians, the continual action, a step in a direction, a characteristic. Brethren, you ought to know if you're walking in light. You ought to be able to leave here today saying, I know I'm walking in light. Does it mean you don't sin? Does it mean you don't slip? Does it mean you don't fall? I mean, darkness and light are two roads go side by side going in the opposite direction. So you slip and fall. Does that mean you made a step to the other side and made a conscious decision to go that way? Uh-uh. We all fall. Children fall. You and I fall. Let me illustrate it this way. Do you love your husband and wife? You can love Jesus and fall and slip. You love your husband and wife. Yes, you do. Do you love your grandchildren? Grandchildren, do you love your grandparents? Kids, do you love your parents? Would you say that in that relationship, you always have treated them the way you should? Well, if you haven't, that means you don't love them, right? Not at all. That's the same thing with Jesus. Just because we fall doesn't mean we don't love him. We love him. But we fall. We do. Matter of fact, John will go so far to say, if you say you don't, you're in trouble. There's arrogance there. There is arrogance there. Fellowship consists in the light. Think of it this way. Here's another illustration. Fellowship is partnership. We have fellowship. And John will reveal the importance of being together. There's cleansing there. There's encouragement there and many other things. But let's say, you know, you were with your family on Christmas, okay? Bunch of people, you were together. You're having a great time. Lights on, everybody's having fun, there's not a care in the world, and all of a sudden the lights go out and it's pitch black. There was a camaraderie, there was a togetherness, there was a connection, but when those lights go out and it is pitch black, what happens? What flees? Fellowship. That's what happens when Christians walk in darkness. There is no fellowship there. It cuts off fellowship. There is no fellowship in darkness. That's why we have to be people of light. And Jesus, John says, through the Spirit himself, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from a few of our sins. No. John says he cleanses you. Whatever your sins are as you walk in the light, you are cleansed. I like how Hugo McCord once said it. He says, in Jesus you constantly stand in the shower of his blood. Constantly cleansing. It is a continual action throughout your life as you walk. And I don't believe at all that God by this is taking sin lightly, as some people said. Just look at what it took for there to be atonement. It took blood to cleanse you. And it didn't take your own blood, which really you deserve. You and I deserve that. No, it was the blood of his perfect son. And he says that we are cleansed by that blood. You know, the only difference in a Christian and one who isn't is that God doesn't take into account your unrighteousness and sin. Should there be a difference in you and I in the world? Yeah. As we grow in grace, they ought to be able to say, you know what? There's something different about those people, but we aren't perfect people. God only looks at us because of Jesus and his blood, and he doesn't take into account our wrongs. That's the good news. That's what we've been told. And then he says, notice at the end, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us. There it is, from all unrighteousness. That's good news for me. If we confess. I call it the in-out scenario. Sometimes you'll talk to Christians and it's like, we're so worried that it's like in one day we're in and out of grace about 800 times. You know? It's like a spiritual schizophrenia. You know, you're in, out, and you're hoping that you pray and then die, because if you're praying and you've confessed your sins and you die, you're good to go. Boy, but if you haven't been praying, you're doomed. Do you think that's what John is saying? Remember, this is a book of security. This is a book of confidence and victory in Jesus. This is a book of blessed assurance, John tells us. I'll do this little example of the in-out scenario. Let's say I get up in the morning. I got a meeting in a half hour, and I'm looking for my suit, and I say, honey, where's the suit? She says, well, I took it to the cleaners, and I blow up at her. I start yelling. I get angry, and I say, you've lost your mind, and I say some other things, and she said, you know what? Doesn't say much for you marrying somebody who's lost their mind, you know? And we go back and forth. And I feel like I'm out for a minute, because you know what? I'm in darkness now. I have sinned and I feel down. And so finally I say, you know what? I go over and I apologize. Forgive me. And then I pray to God, God, will you forgive? I finally feel like I'm back in, you know? Then I go downstairs to get breakfast. Christmas toys are laying on the hardwood floor. I don't see them. And I slip and I do a trick. You know who Tony Hawk is? He's supposed to be the greatest skateboard guy in the world. I do a trick that makes Tony Hawk look like a beginner. And I start getting angry and I just follow along here. Because we're not far from this sometimes. I get so angry and I burst out and I think, there I go again. I'm here I am in darkness, you know, not forgiven anymore. Lord, please forgive me. I'm back in the light, you know. Now I go to get breakfast, you know, I'm got to get to work quick, and I go, have you ever had one of these mornings? You go to get Cheerios and pour them in a bowl, and their Cheerios are gone. You know, there's no Cheerios left. The kids ate them all. Then you go into the fridge, you know, I'm going to settle for less, I'm going to get some grape nuts, and then you go in the fridge to get the milk, and the milk is gone. So there I go again, I'm angry, and I just storm out of the house, and guys, you ever slam the door? You never said anything you shouldn't, right, when you were going out the door? I get into the truck and I try to burn out, but my truck won't burn out because it's not powerful enough. And I'm angry and I'm saying things I shouldn't, and I finally cool down and I pray and I'm back in again. But then I pull out of my subdivision and there's a guy who's had a morning just like me. And he pulls up and he's following me on my bumper. Virgil, you know what I'm talking about. He following me on my bumper, and we're having a conversation. And it's not a good conversation. And there I go again. I'm out, right? That's not how it works. That's not how it works at all. And don't believe for a minute that is how it works. Christianity is a life of confession. Your life is a life of confession. Do you think there's anything you've ever done that you didn't realize was wrong in the eyes of God, and you haven't confessed that sin? So what? Are we not forgiven of that sin because I didn't confess that one? It's about your heart. God knows your heart. Your life is a life of confession. You live in that confession. Why do you think we go to God and communicate to Him as our Father? Not that we're worried He's not going to forgive me of those things. I know He is. Do you not? That's what redemption is. You thank Him in confidence for His redemption, and you walk in light, and there's cleansing always, no matter what you do. And again, that's not a choice to go the other way. Don't ever choose to turn your back against God and go the other way. You're in darkness. You are in darkness. Security, blessed assurance, victorious faith. We have that because of God, fellowship with Him. We have that because we walk in the light as He's in the light. And we have that because of the precious blood of Jesus. And you know the good news for those of you who are not in the light? That the light is for you too. That's what He's come for. That you can respond to Jesus. That you can come to Him by faith. That you can put Him on in baptism. That you can walk in the light of Jesus. And you can have the same blessed assurance and promise that God has given to His people. I don't know why you wouldn't want it. Here's the time for you to respond. We're going to stand and sing the invitation. Whatever your concerns are and needs, we're here for you. Will you come?